is all over. It's only begun.
Enemy of the church. If we're going to clear up some of the semantics that are involved in in these problems that we have in this country. People are fed up. Church is fed up. A lot of garbage and misunderstanding, misinformation, miseducation, erroneous education. Some of it intentional by an enemy, an internal enemy of the United States. Enemy of Jesus Christ. An enemy of the Christian faith. Enemy of the race which has the Christian faith, the Adamic or Caucasian race. It's time we declare war. We've been talking long enough. It's time we go into action. I'm going to put a disclaimer on this message right now because there's a tape recording or an electronic gadget here recording what I say. And this recording will go out across the country. It may be even broadcast over a radio station and be heard by the enemy, be heard by people who disagree with what we say. But we want to put this disclaimer on it right now. We are not threatening anyone. There are no threats intended nor implied by any statements or any part of the sermon today. There are what we will consider promises. They will be promises made. And these promises are not threats, although we know that there are a lot of chicken out there who want to say, whenever you call them to task, that you are threatening them. There will be conditions where men of this church, and this is men of the church, Christian faith, an army, will bring retribution upon enemies. We may even send some of them back to meet their maker. That's not a threat, it's a promise. The enemy may as well know that if everything we do and everything we say here is within the law, we do not violate the law. They have been violating the law. God's law for this nation and this nation for this people. The enemy is inside of our land and our government. And this is a warning to them, this sermon. More than a warning, we never do anything secretly because we follow Jesus Christ. We do everything in the open. So I may start rambling because I'm going off the top of my head, putting on tape some facts, some information, some of the educational processes that are required all a lifetime or to obtain. So this subject today, I'm going to cover some of the things that are being done by what we call public employees. Public servants, people who are on the payroll. Some are judges, as they call them, the courts or judicial department of government, because what we're involved in here is government. Government and in your local county and city government. We're going to cover those areas, those problem areas in government. We're going to do it because government is the business of the church. We'll explain the semantics of that statement too as we go. Because many people misunderstand that. When you say the church, they think of some religious body by a denominational title, Methodist, Episcopal, Baptist, Mormon, Roman Catholic, Anglican Catholic. Those are denominations. And they think in those terms, so we're going to clear that up. That's not what we're talking about. We're going to cover areas of government that are the business of the people. Because the people, the Christian people, in this country and in this land are the church. The church is what the Bible says it is. It's not what some politician or some legislator says it is. It's not what some judge says it is. It is the many-membered body of Jesus Christ, which is you. You are the church. Well, it just so happens in this Republican form of government that our ancestors gave us, which we have lost, that the people are the government. If the people are the church and the people are the government, there is no separation between the church and the government. The United States of America, this Christian Republic, is nothing but an expansion of the Christian church. When they came here, they said that they came here to advance the faith of Jesus Christ or the Christian faith. And they said that they would not obey any laws or have any government over them that was not in accordance with the scriptures of the Holy Christian faith, called the Bible. These are written in the records of our government. So, you know it. The enemy knows it. So things are happening today that bring up this requirement. And we're going to tell the enemy some things here because we don't want to do anything. We're going to tell the enemy that this church and all Christian churches, the church or the Christian faith, any denomination, have a right under the law to maintain an army. They have that right by the scriptures, by the laws given to them for their government and their nation by Almighty God in the book. Right now I have a power of attorney, and so have you. Any lawyer will not debate the issue or end with the fact that the power of attorney is a written authority to speak and act in the name of another person or another party. And you and I have that power of attorney right here in this Holy Bible. Speak and act in the name of Jesus Christ. That is a power of attorney. It's lawful. It is legal. It's a written authority. We'll cover some of the things about that in just a moment to show where it is. The Roman Catholic Church in the Vatican in Rome has a church guard. It consists of swift troops, armed. The Ministry of Christ Church or any other church in this land is under the law authorized to have a church guard. We have had it for many years, and we will continue with it. The Ministry of Christ Church. Nationwide, and they will be employed in this declaration of the Holy War. So let bureaucrats and public servants who are in violation of God's laws for this republic at this time be warned right now. If they attempt to employ force, which they have done and are doing, and I'm going to give you examples of it today, against the church, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth is God's law. They will be required to shed blood. Some of it may be the blood of the group of the church, and I want to guarantee some of it will be there. I just said the church has declared war. So don't say I'm guilty of threatening anybody physical harm by saying what I've just said, because we're in a war, damn it. Better understand it. Now, let's turn to the book of Mark, chapter 8, verses 27 to 38. I may not get through the scriptures because I'm going to cover so much in the area of why we are declaring war. But in the book of Mark, chapter 8, verses 27 to 38, we find Jesus speaking to his disciples. And he went out with his disciples into the town of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples. And he said to them, "Who do you say I am? Who do men say that I am? Who do these people say I am?" And they answered, "John the Baptist." But they said, "Some say Elijah. And others just say one of the prophets." Jesus said to them, "But who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "Thou art the Christ." The word Christ, Christos, it means the light. He didn't say that. Go into your Strong's Concordance. You will find in the Greek, he said, "You are Yahweh." And he was taking you back into the Hebrew by your number. "You are Yahweh." Translators put this, "Thou art Christ." then he charged them. They should tell no man of him. Don't tell anybody who I am, he said. Why? He didn't want the Jews to know who he was. He spoke in parables so the internal enemy and even the proselytes for the Jews would not know who he is. Why? If they knew who he was, they'd never try to do what he came to let them do. He told them, don't let anybody know. And he began to teach them. It says that the Son of Man must suffer many things. Well, the word son is translated from the word seed in existence, which means descendants, and the word man is Adam. So many times the translators have put the word Son of Man when it referred to Jesus Christ, and in other cases where it meant the seed or descendants of Adam or the Adamic race. Well, in either case, whether it's Jesus Christ or the sons of Adam, we're suffering. Must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders. Who were the elders? If you look, your old tradition of the elders was what you call Judaism today. The Jews or their Judaism was called the tradition of the elders that Jesus said, ye in your traditions make the word of God of no effect. If Judaism is right, Christianity is wrong. Make your choice. And of the chief priests, who were the chief priests in that day? Jews. The Jews had invaded northern Judea and Jerusalem, had taken over completely, just like they have invaded this country today, just like they have taken over in your government today, in your city halls, your state capitals, and in your federal government in Washington, D.C. These Jews are non-elected, but have taken over your government everywhere. Say, this guy is crazy. I challenge you to prove me wrong. Go into your state legislature. The Anti-Defamation of League of B'nai B'rith is active throughout the United States and the whole world in political activity to see that your judges understand who is boss in your judicial departments of government, to see that your executives know who is boss. The whole Federal Reserve Board, the whole Federal Reserve System is run by international Jewry. And Arch Robertson just revealed in the spotlight the names of all of the Jew bankers, the Rothschilds, the Warburgs, in Paris, Germany, and those in the United States are all Jews. If you think that bunch in New York are not Jews, who both got me, the Lehman Brothers, the Jacob Schiff, finance the Bolshevik Revolution in the Soviet Union, and control what you know, which is their front called communism. The ones that the New York banks never can remember his name, for goodness sakes, Rockefeller, Jew, they're not Christians. They go to a Baptist church. They were doing the same thing here. These chief priests were Jews, and scribes, whether it was these Jews, these scribes were these. Seed of Adam must suffer many things and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. All right, so this is where the Son of Man was referring to who? Jesus Christ. In this instance, he spoke. He said it openly. He didn't say it secretly. Jesus did nothing secretly. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and he looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. He said, get behind me, Satan, for you savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. In other words, Peter was worried about the safety of Jesus Christ. And Jesus told him, they're going to crucify me, and I ain't going to let them do it. This has to be. Peter didn't want it done. Peter was real brave. Was he? See, now think about this. Right now, some people across this land, including myself and you, are going to have to face and back up what I say here, that we're going to fight or chicken out like Peter did. You take your choice right now. I'm going to go. In combat, I never said I was going behind that line, or that I wanted volunteers to go behind that line. I said, I'm going, and I want some men to go with me. In this instance, I said, I'm going, I'm telling you I'm going, and I want somebody to go with me. You don't? plain to hear Jesus said something was going to happen. I'm telling you, something's going to happen. Peter says, no, I don't want that to happen. Jesus, when he had called the people to him and his disciples, he said to them, whoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. In other words, you have to be worried not about your own personal possessions and your own safety. If you're going into war, you have faith. For whosoever will save his life will lose it. These people who are worried about material things and don't want to fight with this church now are going to lose everything they have. Going to war. You either fight or you lose. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, that's this truth, same shall save it. But what shall it profit a man if he gains his whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? How many Christian people today are saying, let's not upset the boat, let's not rock the boat. There's problems in our government. Yes, we know there's Jews, we know there's communists, we know there's problems here, but don't rock the boat. I'm telling you right now, I'm fed up with that garbage. We're not going to rock the boat, we're going to tip it over. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me, Jesus said, and if you won't fight for your God, you won't fight for your country and your family. Who is ashamed of Jesus and his words in this adulterous, sinful, generational race? Of him also shall the Son of Man, there referring to Jesus Christ, be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. He who denies me before men, Jesus said, him will I deny before the Father. What does that mean? That means that when you go with your report card to meet your maker, when you leave here, and you have denied Jesus Christ here on earth, you're going to be denied there. You're going to wish you had not denied him here. People have no fear of that. The churches don't teach them, or the preachers, let me put it that way. The clergy of these denominations don't teach Christians that they should have fear of Jesus Christ. They've got them all afraid of the devil. They've got them all afraid of Satan, when in fact they have all power over them. Satan can't, and satanic forces cannot even touch you. And these are satanic forces that we're talking about that we're going to war with right today in our own government. Before we get into those areas, let's turn to Luke chapter 14. 2 verses. 23 to 35, 12 verses. Yahweh said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges, compel them to come in. That's my house. Compel who to come in? God's people. Who are they? Israel. So if we take that literally for us, we are to go out across this country, and we're going to, and we're going to compel God's people to come into the message. Into his house. What's his house? Church. The body. We're going to fill the hall with Christians. They're going to come in and hear the truth, for I say to you that none of those men which were in this shall taste of my supper. And there went great multitudes with him. He turned and he said to them, if any man comes to me, how the translators put the word hate not his father. The word must respect. Or rather, be willing to give up his family, his father, and his mother, and his wife, and his children. Except you'll see a cross reference there. That's in Matthew 10 and Revelation, which means that you have what covers those areas where Jesus said you must be willing to give up your family for me. If he doesn't give up his father, his mother, and his wife, his children, his brethren, and sisters, even his own life, he can't be my disciple. What are we talking about here? Warriors. Warriors who are not afraid to die. He disciples of Jesus Christ. If you're not willing to give up everything for Him, you can't be His disciple. You can't just come in and fight the income tax and be a disciple. You got to give up everything. You can't try to save money. You can't try to save things. Whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. What is a disciple? I've covered that. People who came into this ministry to be ministers of fact. Get your dictionary out. Some of them refuse to listen to me. They refuse to receive instructions from me. They said, we're not going to be gay-like. We're going to go our way and do what we want to do with the minister. So I sat down with them. I said, you say you're not my disciples. You don't want to be my disciples. That's right. I said, well, then you don't want me to instruct you. Because you look in your dictionary. A disciple is one who is receiving instruction from another person. And then you follow the next word in the dictionary, and it's discipline from the word disciple. And discipline is the willingness to receive instruction. So if you are not willing to receive instruction, you are not disciplined. And if we are not willing to receive instruction from Jesus Christ, we cannot be His what? What are His instructions? Be willing to give up everything for Him. Here it says, He said it. Whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Or which of you intending to build a tower? You don't first sit down and count the cost. See whether you have enough to finish it. In other words, your head. Don't start something you can't finish. That's pretty good policy for war. It's a good instruction to listen to when you're talking about going into war. If you can't finish it, don't start it. Yeah, somebody else will come along and finish it. I know, I've been asked. Listen to what this means here. Unless happily after he has laid the foundation, he's not able to finish it. Oh, that behold, it begins to mock him. Everybody that looks at what you've done, say, uh-oh, you're a fool. If you go into war, you can't win, you're a fool. Now, look at Korea, Vietnam. These are areas that we can bring up right now in relation to what the Bible says right here. Congress did not declare war in Korea. Congress did not declare war in what we call Vietnam. And yet, the executive department of your federal government was permitted to send your young sons into combat in a no-win effort without a declaration of war by Congress in violation of the Constitution of the United States. These are some of the things we'll talk about, and they're continuing today. This is treason. By oath. Well, under oath, the full preserve and defend and support the Constitution of the United States, and go into office and violate it. These are facts. They did it. We'll fight for our country, right or wrong. But when we do, Congress must declare war. Tell us who the enemy is. And put all the force and might of this republic behind the military to win it, and win it now. Save the lives of the troops. And kill the enemy. The only way you win a war. Have they done that? No. Every one of those congressmen should have been in the jungle in Vietnam instead of your son. For allowing it. So, did they comply with the instructions of Jesus here? No. Nope. And everybody mocked this whole nation because of it. All the third world thinks they're a bunch of well, they're all saying this man began to build and he wasn't able to finish. They're all saying the United States of America could start it but they couldn't finish it in Vietnam and in Korea. Well, what king going to war against another king. He doesn't sit down first and consult whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him that comes against him with 20,000. In other words, when you're going into war, you better evaluate what you're going up against. I'll tell you what we may be going up against. Church, right now. We might evaluate. We're going to go up against sheriffs. Dumb, uneducated fools who have been elected sheriffs in a lot of the counties of this country who don't know the law. And they not only don't know the law, they do not know their duties. The sheriffs. Why? Because right now, they are going out entering churches and entering farms and private property of citizens and confiscating those and supporting orders from judges which have no lawful authority to be given in the first place to confiscate people's property under civil statutes called foreclosures on mortgages. That's civil. The federal government has no civil authority over anybody in this land or in any subordinate government. There is no subordinate government. The federal government is the most subordinate government you could have. The state and the people are sovereign over him. And without sovereignty, there's no jurisdiction, and it has no jurisdiction over the people in the states. They haven't told you this happened. So, in this respect, let's go to an incident. We have the newspapers here from the Temple Times in Georgia. The one of December 12, 1982. Pastor Sullivan was arrested at midnight. On midnight, November 29, 1982, Pastor Everett Sullivan and his wife, Trustee, approached their motel room in Omaha, Nebraska. Suddenly, four men in plain clothes stepped out of the darkness and informed Pastor Sullivan that he was under arrest. No explanation was given as to why. Two of the men were recognized as Sheriff Fred Tesh and his chief deputy, Larry Shelhorn, from Cass County. But they were out of their jurisdiction. In other words, they were out of their county. It was later learned that the other two men were Sarpy County Sheriff Pat Thomas and one of his deputies. They whisked Pastor Sullivan to an unmarked jeep and sped away in the darkness. A phone call to Cass County Judge Raymond Case by Mrs. Sullivan revealed that he had signed the arrest warrant because the news media had reported Pastor Sullivan as saying he intended to resume the daily education ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Louisville, that's Nebraska, on Wednesday morning, December 1st. This is just another bizarre episode in one of the most incredible stories in American history. Judge Case had ordered the daily education ministry closed and the Faith Baptist Church building padlocked September 1981 because the church refused to be licensed by the state and employ certified teachers. On September 18, 1982, Pastor Sullivan was sentenced by Judge Case to a four-month jail sentence for, quote, contempt of court, unquote, for conducting the daily educational ministry. He was released after 13 days, pending a federal court appeal. No relief was granted in the federal court, and the educational ministry. On September 3rd, Sheriff Tesh and Deputy Larry Shelhorn interrupted the worship service and arrested Pastor Sullivan in the pulpit for, quote, contempt of court, quote, for conducting a Christian educational ministry. On October 14th, Judge Tesh issued an order for the church building to again be padlocked. On October 18th at 6:09 a.m., Cass County Sheriff Fred Tesh, accompanied by five deputies, 12 Nebraska State Patrol troopers, entered the Faith Baptist Church in Louisville, Nebraska. During a prayer meeting, dragged 85 people from the building as they knelt between the pews in prayer and worship. Ejected worshipers were dropped on the sidewalk in the lawn. The building was padlocked, and armed guards placed on the inside to prevent worshippers from re-entering. Pastor Silliman was released from jail on October 22nd, when the educational ministry was recessed to provide time for a legislative or legal solution of the problem. There was no solution. Pastor Silliman had announced when he was released from jail on October 22nd that he would voluntarily return to jail on December 1st when the educational ministry resumed if the problem had not been resolved. That is why he and his wife had checked into the hotel in Omaha earlier in the day on November 29th. They had gone there to get away from the press and have some time together before he returned to jail to resume his four-month jail sentence when the educational ministry resumed. He was not in contempt of court as long as the educational ministry was in recess. He had broken no laws. He had violated no court orders. Yet Judge Case had the audacity to have him arrested before the battle. It goes on to say he's not a criminal. And this pastor who wrote this up, Robert Curry, pastor of this Temple Times in Georgia, was there. He said, I was an eyewitness. It was one of the most incredible things I have ever witnessed. It couldn't happen in America, he said. It should not have happened in America. But alas, it did. Alas, you know, that's the Hebrew word, boy, boy. It is indeed a dark and frightening day in America. Pastor Silliman was incarcerated in the Sarpy County Jail in Omaha until he was transferred back to the Cass County on December 1st for a hearing before Judge Case, where he was released from custody. There was no lawful cause to hold him. Well, I could go on and they say, wake up, preachers, wake up in America. And these Baptists tell us we should pray. Let us pray that our nation can come to the knowledge of the truth and that God will grant repentance and heal our land. Pray, he said. Prayer without works is dead. I have no sympathy for these people. Don't misunderstand me. I have no sympathy for them at all because they do not know the law. These ministers do not know the law. And I'm going to tell you what the law is right now. And if any sheriff, and in particular these sheriffs, hear it in the future, they had better listen to it and listen good. In the United States of America, the church is prior to the state. Jesus Christ incorporated the church when he laid his hands on his disciples at Pentecost. That was a legal corporation. No state has any control over it. By using the word church, I will say any Christian religious body, including the Ministry of Christ Church, including this Baptist church and this pastor that was over here in Nebraska. That property belongs to Jesus Christ and does the whole world now. But it is under the administration and rule of that governing body, the board or governing body of that religious organization called a church. In this case, the Ministry of Christ Church, the governing body is the board of governors. And the property is under its control. The church is a self-governed institution in America. I said self-governed. That sheriff wasn't just out of the jurisdiction by being in another county. He was out of the jurisdiction the moment he stepped in the church.
Now, I want to warn them too. Now, this is no trap. I said,
to repeat things. I said, no, you have to repeat it. Stop those. Out of threat. We have 12 trained men in this church guard nationwide. I say, well trained, you keep bankers, train them in Vietnam and Korea and in World War II. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the code name Phoenix. It's a code name. The Army Special Forces and the CIA joined together to train approximately 36 young men. And I mean they're trained beyond your conception. In Vietnam, they would go into enemy lines and wipe out, eliminate high-ranking Viet Cong. In the Middle East, they've operated North Africa, they're trained worldwide. About 22 of them are with the Army of the Church today. And we have been and will continue to train the men of this church, the church guard, to defend the church and to implement instructions. We're in war. We're telling you this now, not as a threat, but to let you know that we can wipe out any best spot team you put up.